Well, it's Sunday. We have sung our songs of praise, so it must be time for this.
Welcome to the Antiques Roadshow. I'm Fiona Bruce, newsreader, presenter, and future national treasure. Talking of treasures, our programme comes live today from Haverhill. And we're here at the Methodist Church, and many of you have dusted down your fragile antiques. Ladies, good to see you've brought your husbands. Let us now join our valuation expert, Arthur Negus, who's with one of our visitors.
Thank you, Fiona. Well, I'm very pleased to be here with you today, and I'm here with Mrs. Teak.
Oh, please call me Anne.
Now, Anne, you've brought along with us today three items of value, perhaps, and you would like to know which one of them is the most valuable. So, could you please unveil your first treasure?
Of course.
Well, aha, a delightful old timer with a broken face that hasn't worked for years. But enough about me. Tell us about the clock, Anne.
Well,
tell us about this clock.
Yes, it once belonged to my grandmother. But as you can see, it's wound up with me now. Sadly, it's just an ornament. It doesn't work.
No, but at least it tells the right time twice a day.
True. And though it's broken, it still is precious to me. I suppose this clock is a bit like my own life. There's much in my history that is broken and I'm unable to mend. Sometimes it feels like time stands still and I'm stuck in the past. But like this clock, there's also much beauty and happy times too.
Well, we'll come to the value a little later, Anne, but would you please now reveal to us the second item that you've brought along to the Antiques Roadshow today?
Of course. Somewhere in here.
Well, bless my bygones, it's a digital clock. Well, let's take a close look. Well, I'd have to check which dynasty, of course, but I'm pretty sure. Yes, it is Chinese. It says here, look, made in China.
Oh, yeah.
How did you manage to acquire such a timepiece as this?
Argos.
Argos, right. Argos. Is that from the classical Greek?
No, it's from the high street, Argos.
Oh, right, I see. And what does this very modern-looking piece say to you? What does it mean to you?
Well, this clock is much more helpful to me than this old thing. I mean, I look at it loads and loads of times every day. It keeps me on track and keeps me in time with my appointments. And it's got a temperature, so you know how hot or cold it is. And even better than that, it's satellite-controlled. So it always, always tells the correct time. We can't live in the past, like this old thing, and I'm not waiting for the future to arrive. I value this present moment in time.
Right, well, we'll think about its value a little later, but Anne, please do now show us the third item that you've brought along today. Well, rust my relics. It's a diary, 2017 diary. Well, let's have a look. Now, how long has this been in your family, Anne?
About 2 months.
2 months, right. But I see it's empty. There's no appointments. No plans, no lunches, no life, Anne?
Well, I wouldn't say that. No, I just don't know what the future holds for me. None of us do, whether my diary's full or empty. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. None of us really know what the future holds. One day, my time will run out, won't it? And then what?
Well, thank you, Anne, for bringing along these treasures that tell of your past, your present, and your future. I suppose we need to talk about their value. But you tell us, Anne, which one of these is most precious to you, the past, the present, or the future?
Well, as a Christian, I believe that my life and my times are in God's hands. He holds my broken past and redeems it. That's precious. He gives me this present moment as a gift to spend wisely with others, loving them and serving them. That's so valuable. And my God promises me a future, even eternal life, and that's priceless. You know, Arthur, I've realised it's not about the price tag. Today I give my past, my present, and my future to God, my Maker. Isn't it time for you all to do the same this Lent?
Well, thank you, Anne. Now back to you, Fiona.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Tune in to Antiques Roadshow next week, where I'll continue my search for an antiques desk chair and table. The BBC just don't let me sit down anymore. Goodbye.
Have we trials and temptations? Take it to the Lord in prayer. For as we read in Hebrews 4 verse 15, we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. Jesus faced temptation to do wrong, just like every human being. I'm now going to read to you a Bible story based on Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. And this story has been written by Bob Hartman, who is a children's worker who's written a lot of stories for young people. So let's hear the gospel of the Lord from Matthew chapter 4. A spider skittered under a desert rock. A scorpion skipped behind a desert stone. A snake slithered across a dusty desert path. And then a man sat down, sweating in the heat of the day. The man's name was Jesus. He had been wandering through the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. And he had eaten nothing, for the spirit that led him there had called him to fast from food. The spider dug deeper beneath the rock. The scorpion stopped and raised his tail. And the snake stopped too, and lifted his head above the desert sand as if he recognized someone. for someone was there. There, suddenly, with Jesus. And his name was Satan. So, they say you're the Son of God, he hissed, his eyes snake-like. If that is the case, you should have no problem in satisfying your aching stomach. Just turn these stones into bread. Then he picked up a stone and he offered it to Jesus. And the spider skittered away to another hiding place. There are more important things than bread, replied Jesus. Haven't you read what the scriptures say? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Ah, yes, the scriptures, Satan smiled. As it happens, I know them well. And in a flash, somehow, Satan took Jesus to the highest point of the temple in Jerusalem. The scriptures say that God will not let you come to any harm, that he will send his angels to lift you up so that your foot will not strike against the stone. So, why not jump from this temple and let God rescue you? And let's see if the scriptures that you cherish so much are really true. Jesus looked down from the temple. It was a long way down. A flock of birds flapped by, whistling as they went. I think not, Jesus grinned. For the scriptures say that we should trust God and never put him to the test. And then they were in another place, on the top of a very high mountain. And somehow they were able to see every kingdom of the whole world. I'll give you all of this, Satan laughed. And all you have to do is to bow down and worship me. But Jesus already had an answer. Go away, Satan. For the scriptures say that you should worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So Satan went, and Jesus found himself back in the desert once again. The spider had buried himself under another rock. The scorpion had lowered his poisonous tail. Only the snake remained. And as the angels surrounded Jesus and cared for him, it lowered its head back into the dust and slithered quietly away. Temptation. What have people said about temptation? Well, Oscar Wilde, the writer, said, "I can resist everything except temptation." Someone else said, "Don't worry about temptation. Don't worry about avoiding it. As you get older, it will avoid you." I'm not so sure if that's true. Temptation to do the wrong thing comes to all of us at every stage of our lives, from being very small to, well, being a little bit older. It starts with a thought, a whispering voice, an idea in our mind that we play with for a while, or rather, it plays with us. A whispering voice, an impulse, and then an action. Somebody's dropped some money. Nobody's looking. Nobody will mind if I just pick that up and put it in my pocket. And we know that's happened in the news, hasn't it? Somebody found some money in a shop. They put it in their pocket. And they got into trouble. And we're pleased today that we have that handbag that's been handed in that's got some money in it. That's the right thing for us to do. It's not finders keepers. That's right, Anne. Now, other things. Well, no one will see if I just have one more slice of this delicious cake. It's only a few more calories, and maybe I can walk it off and, you know, lose the calories later. Or maybe you children might say, well, my mum or dad won't mind, or they won't know anyway, if I watch this on my phone or my tablet or my computer. They won't find out. I can do it. Or maybe some of us adults, this one will be my lucky ticket. This time, I'm going to win the jackpot. Or maybe I can claim that from my expense account for work. And I could make the amount a little bit bigger, and nobody would know. The power of temptation is there throughout our lives. And the power of temptation is the possibility that giving into it will make me more happy or give me more power. But it can lead us to do the wrong thing. We're going to watch a little experiment on the screen now and see how some children responded when they were placed in a test area, when they were tempted with something good.
You've given these willing test subjects a Haribo Star Mix sweet with the promise that if they can resist it, they can have another one. Let's see what happens. Haribo's just too good. Greedy chops.
I love the way which the girl talks to her hands. Don't do it. Don't do it. That's self-control. That's self-control. And sometimes we know we've just got to tell ourselves that and put ourselves out of the way of temptation. It's like that old joke, isn't it, when the man goes to the doctors and says, I've broken my arm in two places. And the doctor replies, well, don't go to those two places anymore. Sometimes we have to get ourselves out of the place of temptation to have self-control. But those sweets were just too good, and the children gave in every time. What can we do? Is there any hope for us to overcome temptation? Well, Jesus was placed in a similar test area in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. He was the Son of God. He had powers. But should he use those powers to make life easier for himself and use those powers to force people to believe in him as the Messiah? Let's consider those three temptations briefly. Firstly, Satan comes to him and says to him, "If you are the Son of God." Now remember, Jesus at his baptism had the Father speak over him, "This is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased with. Listen to him." But Satan tries to undermine who he is. If you are the Son of God, and that's what Satan can do. He can try to undermine us as daughters and sons of God. If you are the Son of God, he sows the seed of doubt. Turn these stones into bread. A strong temptation. Imagine going without food for 40 days and 40 nights. Why not change stones into bread? Later on, he would turn water into wine. What was the difference? Well, in one word, others. Others. Yes, Jesus had the power to change things, but it was never for himself, it was always for others. Jesus changed many things in his ministry. He changed fishermen into followers. He changed sinners into God's friends. He used God's power to transform sick people into whole people. He took a boy's packed lunch and he transformed it into a feast for 5,000. And ultimately, he would transform and change this cruel cross into a symbol of love and forgiveness. So the changes Jesus made were not for himself, but always for others. That's how he used his power. And so it is with us. If we have power, however small, we are to use it to help others. And so in this Fair Trade fortnight, we remember to pray, "Give us this day not my daily bread, but our daily bread." So Jesus faced this first temptation to turn stones into bread, and he replied to Satan, "Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." And we know that Lent is a time for us to feed on God's word that nourishes our hearts. Jesus resisted Satan, and he came through that first temptation. And then in the second temptation, Satan took Jesus to the top of the temple. And one rabbi at that time said, "The Messiah will appear on the top of the temple." And Satan said, "Throw yourself down and God will rescue you. You will not dash your foot against a stone." Well, we know that a stunt like that would definitely win Britain's Got Talent, wouldn't it? But Jesus wasn't interested in popularity. He wasn't a Superman. He was a different kind of Messiah. So he replied to Satan, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." And remember, that's what the people of God had done in the wilderness for those 40 years, testing God. And Jesus, in this wilderness situation, is giving all the responses that the people of God should have given. Jesus was different. For Jesus and for us, trusting in God does not mean acting stupidly against the forces of nature to force God into a spectacular rescue, pushing the boundaries. So when we are tempted to misuse God's word, to put God to the test, or to question God's presence, that's the time we need to remember Jesus in the wilderness, resisting the devil. We're not to behave as if our faith is like a spiritual slot machine, that we can take a gamble with God's goodness. Jesus resisted. He came through. But Satan persisted and took him to a very high place and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. "All these I will give you," he said, "if you bow down and worship me." And here we see Satan for what he is. In John's gospel, he is described as the father of lies. The father of lies. And this is a lie, because the devil's words are simply not true. Jesus and God alone are the ruler of all nations. God alone is sovereign. Those kingdoms did not belong to Satan. They were not for him to give away. So Jesus says, "Get out of it, Satan. It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Sometimes the things of the world can be a great attraction to us. We can act as if money and power and status will supply all our needs and make us happy. And in this amazingly technological world, like Jesus, we are shown everything in an instant. But Lent challenges our grasping and our greed. Lent is a time for us to look closely at our attachments, our addictions, our allegiances. Who or what is on the throne of our lives? Where does my treasure lie? We cannot serve both God and Mammon, the world. So Jesus resisted Satan and came through that third temptation. And suddenly the devil left him, and the angels came and waited on him. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It was 3-0 to Jesus. But we know that was only the half-time score. We know that Satan would come back and tempt Jesus again in the Garden of Gethsemane, tempting him to think that there might be another way, a different way from the cross to achieve God's salvation for the world. And then the tempter would come again on the cross, tempting Jesus to come down from the cross and save himself. Jesus came through. And friends, this morning, this is the good news for us. The whole of life for us is a test area. This life is a training ground from cradle to grave. And in those temptations, the main thing to remember is that Jesus showed that there is a different power and rule at work in this world. And it's not the power of evil and the devil. It's the power of God. And it's that kingdom rule that God is working in our lives and in our hearts. Because Jesus overcame and we belong to him and he lives in us, we too can resist the devil and come through. This is our hope. And we know that when in our weakness we give in and we get it wrong and we choose the wrong path, we know that God is more than ready to forgive us and restore us. Sadly, Judas did not get that restoration. He didn't get that word of forgiveness from the priests when he repented. He didn't find a way back to Jesus. But we know that Peter did when he denied Jesus. Peter came back to Jesus. He was forgiven and restored. So today, if Jesus rules in our hearts, he gives us the power to say no to Satan. He will deliver us from evil. Thanks be to God. In response, let's join in saying together a prayer on the screen. We'll just give you a moment to read through this prayer. Let us pray. Jesus, our Master, when the pressure is on, help us to choose God's way. When the choices are many, help us to choose God's way. When temptation is great, help us to choose God's way. Amen.